Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a little zombie takeout I tossed off recently in the Caribbean.
What's up? Welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie Cult Movie Show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, just a little something we forgot about. Well, I forgot about last week. It was in my bloody notes. I skipped over it. Bodo tweeted at us a little bit before we came back asking, maybe you guys should switch your movie to Contagion if you haven't done that. Yeah, you probably already have. But anyway, miss you guys. Hope to hear you guys. Stay safe. Sorry, Bodo, but I'm going to have to say a big fuck no to that.
And he left us a really like sweet voicemail too that honestly it brought me to tears, honestly. Oh, wow. Hearing it was just we love you too, Bodo. Mm. and thanks so much for everything, and yeah, just listening to us and giving us feedback is cool enough.
Oh, yeah. By the way, haven't heard from you for a while. Hope you're okay. Tweet at us. Let us know you're okay.
Stay safe, man.
Yeah. But with Contagion, a lot of people are watching it nowadays. And if you're into it, if that's your thing, by all means, enjoy. I think it might
we're
be...
We're kind of living it?
Well, a lot of people are watching it now because of that. And if you want to do that, by all means, rock on. But
it's
I think
the same reason why I didn't really watch The Sopranos.
I feel like it would kind of be in bad taste to review it. Also, I have OCD, like legit diagnosed OCD. And I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, so I really need to stay away from movies like that. I can't watch that or Outbreak or anything like that. So we will never be reviewing movies like that. Also, this has never been.
I think they actually filmed Contagion, parts of Contagion, where my wife works.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
There's a few kinds of movies we will never review. Outbreak, Contagion, movies like that. I'm morbidly arachnophobic, so I really can't do anything with, like, giant spiders or a lot of spiders. So no eight-legged freaks, no arachnophobia. And I hate to include this one because it is absolutely in our wheelhouse more than just about anything else, but Human Centipede.
You know, any sort of mutilation movie is just not our thing. That's why we didn't do the Walrus movie also.
Right, yeah, yeah. But Human Centipede, I got creeped out reading this plot summary.
Like, I think we were all, like, in favor of
Tusk,
the Walrus movie.
Because it's Kevin Smith.
And until we found out it was, oh, no, he mutilates him into
it's
a walrus.
Full-on body armor.
Right.
Yeah, so. Not our thing.
Like, wow, that's unpleasant. No, I think we're going to pass on that. Sorry, Kevin.
And since I did briefly touch on your current events, I do want to take a moment, since we forgot to last week, to thank all of the essential workers who have to be out there doing their jobs, you know, outside of their houses right now. Of course, all of the medical professionals, truck drivers, but convenience store workers, supermarket workers, gas station attendants, anyone else I'm not thinking of offhand. If you have to be out there doing your job right now outside of your house, thank you.
Yeah, people that are running the deliveries.
Delivery people. I have one today and two tomorrow, or I should be remembering delivery people too.
Bolstered my liquor cabinet up.
I won't be buying any wine for a while because I have to sign for it. I know they do that. FedEx has that, you know, they'll sign it for you thing, but I still don't. I don't know. I want to avoid
it liquor,
for a while.
Yeah, I actually had to get my wallet for the first time in a couple of weeks. Just get my ID. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
You know, obviously they won't just leave it by the door. So I'm think I'm going to go drive for a while until all this passes. Anyway. And without any further ado, on to this week's movie, which is from 1983, Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. This is our Terry Jones tribute. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by the Law of Averages. Even the greats have to fail eventually.
And also brought to you by the machine that goes ping. We have no idea what function it serves, but accept no substitutes.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
All right, so... we pretty much have an hour and a half version of the old Flying Circus show
here. It is a long, expensive Flying Circus episode.
It's we begin with a I guess a short presentation. The Crimson Assurance or the Crimson Permanent Assurance. I think we'd always refer to it as the Crimson Assurance
Yeah,
for
I
some
always said
reason.
Crimson Assurance. I completely forgot about the permanent part.
Right. And man, did they have a crystal ball or what? I mean, corporate raiders were a thing.
It was the early 80s. It was the yuppie era.
But nobody really talked about it in the mainstream, at least, until like, oh, a good 6 years later, or 4 years later after this. The crash happened in 87, and that's when corporate raiders and junk bonds really came into the mainstream lexicon. If you look at, I looked up the Wikipedia article on corporate raiders, there is nothing in their references that predates 85.
Wow.
And so here they are
In
doing
83.
this thing in 83 about corporate raiders and using all of the correct terminology, of course, that to us, of course, means nothing because we went through the late 80s. But to know that this was here before, it's mind blowing. And
And I'll just say now the best part of the movie.
so it's this absurd thing where it's the they're pirate ships in a building, corporate buildings, and of course they're literally raiding other businesses. And then of course that brings us to the main feature, and it's I don't know, they split it up into six parts, but isn't it really just birth, the stuff in between, and then death? I guess, well, of course you get birth, and it has this satire on the medical profession of all things too. It just how for-profit medicine and just how people up top are just so disconnected with everything else. And
And while doing my research about this, I found out that Graham Chapman was a doctor.
oh, that's
He
right. He
graduated
was.
medical school.
He was. My God. And so they start off with that, and then I'm trying to remember where they go to next in birth. Oh, then they go into, of course, birth control and
The Catholics, the Irish
yes,
Catholics,
the Catholics
the
versus the
Roman Catholics, sorry.
Protestants, and this great musical number
The best
in
musical ever.
there. And yeah, it is tough that they went off with one of their
Well,
best musical numbers right up
their
front.
best. I was going to say I said the best, but I don't know. There are some we've seen some competitors. Well, I say one of the few great musical numbers.
Right. I mean, it's hard to top the stuff they've done in the past, which is the problem of this movie. They're competing against themselves. And how do you top Always Look on the Bright Side of
Well,
Life?
yeah.
Which, by the way, I just saw something where a lonely tugboat went through the Thames, blasting that just on its own, just because we live in the weirdest time possible. But anyway,
Life's a
it
pile of
goes.
shit. When you think of it, life's the laugh and
It,
death's the joke. It's
yeah,
true.
I know, it's fucking genius. So you go from that to they do a criticism of religion indirectly about how it is pretty much fetishizing God. This other song about how great he is and how low we are, and just the genuflecting, I guess.
They rip everyone apart in this.
Oh yeah, nobody's safe in
They
this. I
hold
mean,
nothing back in this movie.
they are really, this is them going out the door, and they knew it. So they were just flipping as many people off as they went out the door. So I think that's pretty much enough of birth. It goes to then the school. Someone, I think a criticism, of course, hits it on the head, saying the least erotic sex scene in all of cinematic history.
I had a bit of a thing for Patricia Quinn until I saw this movie.
Oh just the matter of factness of it's a classic.
And this was only like 6 years after Rocky Horror. No, yeah. 8 years.
Was it? Well, oh yeah, it's right. The movie
75
was
was Wrong Era.
75, right? So only 8 years. And so then it goes this this brutal rugby scene where just these kids, of course, are getting pretty much the shit beaten out of them from all directions. Which, if it's not the greatest summary of
School.
adolescence, I don't know
Yeah.
what it is. Tell you the truth, they hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
They revisit the war, the military, of course. A few skits that are very similar to early Python skits. The drill sergeant. They've done a few drill sergeant skits in original Python, if my memory's correct. But of course, this one goes off in a different direction from that. And then the war itself, for PC times, probably the most shocking segment in this whole movie, actually.
Well, not the war they start with, but the scene with the leg and all of that, yeah.
Oh, the Zulu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they start off with like a World War One thing.
Oh, right. I forgot about the World War One skit, which, I mean, once you've done the cannibalism skit, which was also World War One, I mean, it is funny the premise of arguing about going away presents and cakes and whatnot, but
I'm given our current circumstances, I'm just waiting for someone to say, "How long is it?"
but they've already done the cannibalism thing
Right.
in
That's
World War One.
That was the Castaways, wasn't it? How long is it? And Gammy Leg and all that.
Yeah. Well, there was also World War One.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of a different cannibalism sketch then.
Yeah, they were in a bunker, or they were in a trench in World War One, and yeah. Stop this cannibalism.
But yeah, then they transitioned to the war against the Zulus, and there was a bit about how England needs to own the world, which is great.
And then I think, wait a minute, I think now.
And then we get to.
Hold on. This is the middle of the plot summary.
Yes. Where is the fish?
Where is the fish? Wow.
And I feel like making a Primus reference, but.
Right, because it was very private. Primus took
they borrowed a lot of that.
Oh my God. The elephant and everything.
Jones' character with the arms.
Yeah.
They took that direct. I think it's Tommy the Cat. I think it's the Tommy the Cat video. That's directly referenced in.
The middle of the film, the middle of the plot summary, which bridges to middle age, which of course isn't nearly as interesting as all the early stuff, but I'm trying to remember now. We go with the Americans for where death first, or do we go to the restaurant first?
It's the restaurant first because it's middle age. That goes into organ transplants and the Galaxy song.
Holy shit. So yeah, wow.
Live organ transplants almost went too dark for me.
Oh.
But we're mixing the review with the summary. After that we have the return of the Crimson Assurance very, very briefly.
Right. And then
and the penis song.
Penis song.
And then it goes seriously downhill for me.
And then I'm trying to think after the penis song,
Mr. we go Creosote. Death.
Oh, right. We go back to the restaurant. That's right. There's two restaurant scenes.
In the very beginning, we first see the fish. Then we see them after the middle of the film, and then they're in the restaurant with Mr. Creosote.
That's right. Well, you say restaurant scene in this movie, you think of Mr. Chris.
Yes.
So, like, wow.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Wow. And I think that's it. Well, we get death.
Then it's the execution, the Grim Reaper scene.
Yeah.
Christmas
the Grub Chapman's Lounge Lizard Christmas in Heaven. All right. And hilarity ensues.
Crimson Assurance, best part of the movie. And I totally forgot Matt Frewer was in that scene.
Yeah, it's like one of his first roles.
I have in my notes his name with a question mark, and then I'm looking at the credits, and I just deleted the question mark and replaced it with a few exclamation points.
Yeah.
And it's Max just
Edgerton himself.
This great metaphor. You have these employees overthrowing their oppressive managers. And even at the beginning, the ship is treated like an old slaver ship with, you know,
right.
the lines of slaves rowing. And you have these old accountants who are kind of moving like they're rowing a big ship.
So I think we're in disagreement on this movie, honestly, because... Mm-hmm. And
I love everything up to Mr. Creosote.
From beginning to end, this movie is probably the brutalist satire
oh, yeah.
I've ever seen.
I just didn't really like anything after Mr. Creosote, which is admittedly like the last 15 minutes of the film, but it tanked it for me.
Like, the Mr. Creosote, I don't know, I guess we should save it to...
Yeah, let's get there in time.
Yeah.
But Crimson Assurance... A great metaphor, because it's these employees overthrowing their oppressive managers and mutinying, but then, like, taking on larger firms and being just as oppressive to them. And, you know, destroying them.
So, and just to know that this is before... like, there's a New York Times article in 85. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 years after fucking Monty Python.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was something that happened even back in the
40s. Oh, yeah, it was happening at the time. It just wasn't publicized.
And it was just people in the business world knew about it more than anything else.
And no pythons were in this movie, in this section, except for brief appearances from Palin and Gilliam as window washers.
In my notes, it's 10 minutes before you see anybody from Monty Python in this movie.
It's hard not to watch this movie with 20/20 vision, though. Meaning current, you know. In the current perspective, because seeing the guys in suits jumping out of the building was a little disturbing after 9/11.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
But I loved the anchor coming out of the sidewalk. I mean, the effects were damn impressive for a comedy made in 83. Released in 83.
It seemed very Gilliam, the Crimson Assurance scene, but it said it was Jones. But, like, the whole thing with the camera running around
Jones directed the whole movie. But that part was probably might have been, you know, subbed out to Gilliam.
Like, the camera going around the ledge seemed very Gilliam to me.
Yeah.
In fact, that whole feel had, like, a 12 Monkeys kind of feel in Brazil.
Yeah. Who did, was it one of the Pythons who did Brazil?
Oh, it was Gilliam, yeah.
It was Gilliam. So, yeah, that's what a lot of it reminded me of.
Oh, yeah.
Loved the scale difference when they get to New York. Because you think the Crimson Assurance building is big, then they get to New York and you see it compared to these skyscrapers, and it's just tiny. Also, you know, the song at the end, it's fun to charter an accountant and, you know, sail the wide accountancy.
Yes. Oh, man.
And there are some great transitions because we go from them to fish.
Well, that Gilliam cartoon in the intro, there's so many jokes in there. Like, I have to watch that at least. I haven't watched this movie enough, it's clear. And of course, I think the reasons why you don't like it are the reasons why I haven't watched it.
Possibly. Like I said, it's all Mr. Creosote and after. Speaking of the beginning, though, after the film's title was chosen... Douglas Adams called Jones to tell him he had just finished a new book to be called The Meaning of Liff, L-I-F-F. Jones was initially concerned about the similarities, which led to the scene in the title sequence in which a tombstone is struck by lightning, which turns the meaning of Liff into the meaning of life.
So wait a minute, he was going to really call... He's talking about life, the universe, and everything, isn't he?
No, it was a separate thing. I looked it up. It's a joke glossary called The Meaning of Liff. I'm not sure what it is in reference to, but it's not Hitchhiker's Guide. I thought that too at first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a separate thing that predates Hitchhiker's Guide. Not sure. Well, at least the novel, because obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the
Hitchhiker's Guide, the story in general, goes on long before that, goes, you know, 70s, way before that. Yeah. Loved again the medical gag.
But I think the baby in space in the cartoon was a 2001 reference.
Oh, okay. I wasn't paying. It's a title sequence. I tend not to pay attention to them. I might have to look at it a bit more closely.
But it's a Gilliam cartoon, so true. I mean, there are just like all of these jokes and in references, just kind of moving really quickly through the whole thing. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely worth going back over to see. But well, yeah, the birth,
the hospital sequence. These two surgeons about to deliver a kid. Who, in case an administrator shows up, they have to have all of these new equipment come in that they have no idea what it does. They get all the equipment in place, and then they realize they're missing the patient.
Like I said, just fucking brilliant satire. The patient is the last thing on their minds. Mm. And, of course, the person running the hospital, a birth. What sort of procedure is that?
The administrator who they're trying to impress has no idea about any of it.
Extracting the baby from the tummy.
And then there's this fascinating contrast because they go from this high-tech hospital to the Roman Catholics who have like 20 kids.
The joke that Chapman ends the birth scene with blew my mind.
What was the joke?
Well, they take the baby away. Yeah, okay, everyone. Mm-hmm. And they leave the mother alone in the room.
Right.
And she goes to ask Chapman, is it a boy or a girl? And Chapman just looks at her and says, it's far too early to impose gender roles at this point. And I was just like, wait, what the fuck?
I caught that too. That was way the fuck ahead of its time.
Like, what?
Yeah,
he's like 35 years ahead of his time.
Yeah,
and my wife was like, "Well, was he just saying that to be absurd?" And I was thinking, "Well, yeah, I mean,
it was coming out of the 70s, so you know, in terms of gender roles, that was an issue."
But it's Graham Chapman, and you know, gender roles were pretty prevalent on his mind.
Well, yeah, Chapman was gay, so he gender may have been, he may have been a little ahead of the curve. The gay community in general may have been a little ahead of the curve on gender than the rest of the world.
Because think about it. Back in Python, when he was like the Bond villain, he, you know, the joke was, Flopsy's dead and never called me mother. And it was just a throwaway joke that he put out there. And of course, everybody was at the time, even in the 80s, was just like, holy shit, what a joke that is.
Well, that was really a kind of more of a Joan Crawford reference. Not reference, but a kind of leaning into a kind of a Joan Crawford thing. But yeah, that was way ahead in terms of the curve in terms of gender. Then they go to the Roman Catholics with like 20 kids and the father telling his kids that he has to sell one of them off for medical research.
Sell them all off.
For medical experiments. Again, just going incredibly dark. And that leads to a musical number that includes a funeral procession.
Yes. And kids singing about sperm.
And to be sensitive to the younger actors in that scene, Palin actually said, those little rubber things at the end of my sock, the word cock was dubbed in later.
But they were fine with saying sperm.
Yeah, and apparently the kids had no idea what they were talking about.
Okay, well, I guess not, yeah.
But, you know, he just...
never be able to make today. They say that a lot about older movies. Yeah. It's truly something they would never be able to have made today.
Well, we'll get to some other things, too. But talking about selling his kids to for medical experiments and that leading to a musical number. And then so this long...
Why did Jones have to play multiple roles in that number?
He directed. He probably wanted to.
Huh. I mean, Chapman or Cleese could have easily played the priest.
Yeah. But before we get to the priest, we have this long tangent about how Protestants can wear whatever sex toys and whatever that they want, use any birth control that they want.
Right.
Loved Idol in that scene. Because it's this, stuffy, Protestant man talking about how he could, if he wanted to, wear a condom or a French tickler, yada, yada. And his wife just, getting so excited at this possibility. Well, they've only had sex twice. They've established this.
Right. What do you mean they can only have it for procreation? We've only had it for procreation.
But as he's talking about all of these other possibilities that they could explore, she's getting so excited.
Right.
And Idol just plays it perfectly.
Yeah, the acting. When Idol plays a woman in this movie, actually, on any occasion, it is just, it's perfect. He's just amazing.
And then the prayer that Palin reads. You've riffed on this on many occasions.
Yes. It's a little bit of a continuation from what they did in The Grail, but just coming out and saying.
It's the Holy Hand Grenade prayer just extended and just way more brutal. And then there's this hymn about them begging God not to kill them, which says so much about religion.
Oh, yeah. Totally. That's what it is.
And then the classroom lecture, which is the line that I always quote that I get a little bit wrong. You don't have to go leaping toward the clitoris. I've quoted that line many times over the years, and I've gotten it a little bit wrong. I usually say marching.
That's stampeding.
Yeah. I usually twist it a little bit, but yeah, you don't have to go leaping toward the clitoris.
And I'm surprised you didn't want to use that for the intro line. I
totally didn't think of it.
That would have been better. It was one of mine.
It was, yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah. That's anyway.
My third choice. Well, you had a better one. So good.
Love that they had a fold-out bed in the classroom.
Oh, my God.
The blackboard just turns into this fold-out bed.
Well, you have no idea where this thing is going when you're watching it for the first time.
I don't think they had any idea where it was going.
Like, when you're watching it again, you see that, that blackboard that's there the whole time, that pull-out bed.
According to Palin, the writing process was quite cumbersome. An awful lot of material didn't get used. Holy Grail had a structure, a loose one. The search for the Grail. Same with Life of Brian. With this, it wasn't so clear. In the end, we just said, what the heck? We have a lot of good material. Let's give it the loosest structure, which will be the meaning of life. There was no plan.
It would have been tough to have shoehorned a plot into this, because you're covering everything,
exactly,
and you're doing different time periods.
And it's just a big, expensive flying circus.
Yeah, the show never had a proper send off, so I can understand.
True. Then we get to the sex demonstration in class. John Cleese and Patricia Quinn, simulating sex in front of the classroom.
Just him turning and yelling at students.
Because he had an ocarina and he tells him, bring it here. I think it was Palin, brings it up to him. He says, no, put it on the desk.
Put it on the desk? Don't just bring it up to me.
And then we get the rugby match, which, like you said, says it all about being in school.
Yeah, just how, the teachers even out to get them. Yeah.
To the tune of Toccata and Fugue in D minor.
Yeah, I should have our song.
Our theme music is the Toccata section of Toccata and Fugue in D minor, played by me on a keyboard impersonating steel drums, but originally it was by Bach on an organ. Loved that. And then it transitions right into a war scene with Toccata still playing. Very Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even, the musical number for the sperm is very Pink Floyd too, actually. That whole scene when they're growing up in the school kids and stuff.
But just hearing Bach's organ, or his, you know, he didn't play it, of course, but what his composition on organ played over a war scene made me realize just how much, I won't say Wright ripped him off, but just how Bach influenced Wright is. Richard Wright, the keyboardist from Pink Floyd. He took a lot from Bach. And then we get to the going away party during the war. It's classic Python, but I still loved it.
Yeah.
It's kind of something they've done before.
It's sad and dark, too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it is, but it's very, I want to say typical Python for them.
Right.
And
you
then
see
we have
where it's going, like, before they even get into it. Like, right. Of course, yeah. There's no way they're getting off this hill right, of alive.
And then the drill sergeant, which was a brutal shot at the military because, you know, he's trying to get the squadron to do the formation. And as soon as he establishes that any of them want to go somewhere else, he's, well, then just go. Gradually loses everybody. And his whole point was just to march around for a bit. Like, that's the only purpose, was just to march around.
The pointlessness of just, yeah. Okay, we're going to do these exercises.
Mm-hmm. The middle of the film had to have been completely intentionally ripped off from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
This is my favorite part of the film.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Close second for me.
This is just fucking hilarious. Yeah. Graham Chapman, I swear, is dressed up like Daryl Hannah from Blade Runner.
See, I see Frankenfutter there.
Think about it. The blonde hair.
I get it. Yeah, I do see
eye makeup like that.
I do see it, yeah. But it just, in 83, that he's in kind of in a corset, and you know, it just screams Rocky Horror to me. And the arms that Jones character has were directly used in the Tommy the Cat video. Primus took that directly. Intentionally, I'm sure. And I've always wondered if there's an actual riddle there. Like, can you figure out where the fish went?
It was right there, isn't it? I mean,
okay,
it was on the plate, wasn't it?
Oh, okay. I wasn't paying that much attention. Okay, I'll have to watch that part again. Okay, that's the joke, I guess. I just thought they were being absurdist.
I think they're being absurdist. The, you know, fish, of course, are like the Greek chorus kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
In a bowl, hanging around.
Because then after Where Did the Fish Go, we get the fish in the restaurant again, talking about how great the middle of the film was. And then we get middle age, and the characters in the middle age section just seemed a little older than middle age.
And keep in mind, of course, it was fish that killed the dinner party.
Right. Of course.
Which I'm surprised they didn't call back the fish for that reference.
Well, I'm thinking it was probably like, those fish.
What's that?
I think it was probably those same fish.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
But the two characters in the middle age section seemed a little old to be middle-aged. Granted, we're middle-aged, so, and they seemed older than us, so maybe that's a bit of denial on my part, but
I just...
It was an older couple out for dinner, except the dinner was in the form of a conversation. They were there to have a prompted conversation.
Just really taking the piss out of vacuous American culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or lack thereof. You know, I love pineapple. Anything with pineapple in it. And then combining just nonsense being slapped together like a luau in a medieval dungeon.
And it kind of also seemed like a bit of a shot at marriage. You know, this old couple have to go out on a date and pay to have a conversation.
I don't know.
You know, as the non-married of the two of us, it kind of came off that way to me.
I don't know. I think we saw it more of as a look at American culture, because mm-hmm. they even come back.
Yeah, true.
To, you know, death takes another shot at us, of course. Yes,
right. And then we get to the bit that I think just went a little too dark. Live organ transplants.
Yeah, well, they... I mean, it was graphic, man.
Yeah. They show up at this guy's house who, you know, checked the box on his driver's license, is an organ donor, and they take his liver while he's alive.
And, of course, it's like, it's upon death. It's like, well, you're not going to survive it, of course.
We have, you know, he says, you know, he has to be killed. And as one of the guys who's harvesting it, who are not doctors, it's, that's made very clear, is talking to his wife about this. He says, well, you know, it has to be after death. You know, he can't survive it. Are you doing anything? And he starts hitting on his wife.
Right. Well, you think he's hitting on her.
Mm.
But it's even worse. Yeah, it's probably the darkest thing they've ever done, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's saying a lot for Python.
Right.
And I mean, and trying to get the satire out of it, because what is it? You know, people who care about other people get punished like this, you know? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. That's one where I don't really get what they were saying with it.
I mean, I think they were going back to the medical profession again and how it's more of a business than a. But
that makes sense.
But I don't know. I don't quite get it.
And then the Galaxy Song, which I love. But it's kind of crowbarred in.
Yes, it is.
Because after hitting on her, he just kind of... I forget. I don't even remember how they transitioned into it. But Cleese's character opens the fridge door, Idol steps out, and does the Galaxy Song.
And then comes back and they finish the skit off.
And the fridge door, I actually was counting, it closes in time with the music. Which is brilliant. And then the brief return of the Crimson Assurance. Where it's just another shot at corporate America.
You know? I kind of wish that it came more unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of wish they had some other like work scene or something, and the Crimson Assurance came out. But yeah, I mean, let's be honest, the Crimson Assurance is just substituting for the Spanish Inquisition.
Well, yes, of course. But you know, this boardroom of corporate suits are talking about, you know, what they want to own next and trying to find the next trend. And one of them says people aren't wearing enough hats.
That's his answer to the meaning of life, I believe, isn't it?
And then the other, and someone else says, he goes on this thing about how the soul, you know, unlike Catholics think you're not born with the soul, it develops. And, you know, it goes on this whole spiritual thing.
Right.
And then one of the others says, let me hear more about the hats.
Hats.
And then the Crimson Assurance raids. And then the penis song, completely out of nowhere, but always enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
And the penis song out of nowhere kind of says a lot today. And then for me, it all went downhill very rapidly.
A satire on excess.
Yeah, but it's just repeated vomiting. I couldn't even watch the scene. I couldn't even look at my monitor. It's just, and it's also a bit fat phobic, which I have issues with. You know, it's just Jones in this fat suit repeatedly vomiting into a bucket. And projectile vomiting.
Oh, of course. I don't know if it had been done before that.
It just seems like gratuitous and, you know, just the excuse to be gross.
Well, there's that. But I think it does sum up excess.
Possibly. And up for me, up until that scene, it was an easy 5. And then we get Arthur Jarrett's execution, which was just kind of sexist. He's chased by a bunch of topless women.
I thought that was funny. That was the way he chose to die.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm a little too sensitive about that one. But then we have a suicide joke involving a tree, which I have some issues with. The Grim Reaper bit did get a little bit better. I liked the guy trying to shoo away the Grim Reaper.
Yes. He's the unwanted guest that comes in, takes the party down.
If circumstances were different, I probably would have enjoyed that bit a bit more than I did. But then I think it
says that we're going to have the same petty differences and problems and quirks even in death.
And everyone dies. You know, it's no matter who you are.
Even after death, they're still like, well, let's take our cars. And the Grim Reaper just like, what the fuck?
And the vortex that death leads them into was very nicely done.
Yeah.
Like, Guillaume outdid himself at that.
It's probably his last animation. Think about it.
He went out big.
Yeah.
And then we get Christmas in Heaven. Chapman as a lounge singer is creepy as hell.
Yes, he is. Oh, man. Graham Chapman.
But that whole bit is a bit of a mess. The whole Christmas in Heaven scene is a mess.
It makes no sense. It's a complete mess. I have no idea what they're doing there with that. Like, it's always Christmas in Heaven, is I guess what they're saying, what they had said. And they just get into this musical number, but what is it for?
Yeah. So, like, with the possible exception of the Grim Reaper scene, which really just hit me at a bad time, you know, the last...
I'd imagine why.
Everything after Creosote is just horrible to me. Everything before Creosote is brilliant, except, you know, live organ donors or you know, harvesting went a little too far, but I still liked it.
And
then at the very end, we get I think it was Idol, you know, with a book saying, here is the meaning of life. And, you know, there were some good things to do, you know, be nice to people. I forget what the rest of them were. But just, you know, generally good things to do. But life really doesn't have a meaning. In a strict sense.
Well, I think... That what they give isn't really a meaning, is it?
No, it was just some generally good advice. All I can remember is be nice to people, but the rest of it was just, you know, good, generally good advice, good ways to live.
Yeah.
But a meaning is an attempt to communicate something. You know, a lot of art has meaning. Not all art. You know, there are the Dadaists.
And even some Dadaists, there's something
there. There's some meaning there, I guess. You know, most things that are said have meaning. A lot of things have meaning. Life can have purpose. Like, life can have a goal and objective. You can, you know, later on ascribe it some meaning for yourself. It doesn't have an intrinsic meaning. It's just what happens.
True. And I think that's... Well, I guess that is the point in the end, though.
True.
The meaning is what you give it in the end.
That's a good point. All right.
Whether it's examined or whether it's, you know, podcasting for a truck driver out there.
Cleese has said that he considers the movie a bit of a cock-up. The other Pythons agreed that the movie is not of the same quality of their previous three movies. I think they're including and now for something completely different.
Really?
I obviously agree. And
for something completely different was just kind of like...
Well, that's what surprised me, because I can't think of... It was Life of Brian, Growl, this, and now for something completely different. Those are the only Python movies, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not forgetting one. And Sound for Something Completely Different was really just a best of.
Yeah, that was...
So that's an odd thing to include. I will say, obviously Life of Brian and Growl are better. We've already reviewed them.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking up to see what we gave them. Did we give them both fives?
Grail was a double five. I know that. I'm sure Life of Brian was too. You'll let me know in a minute if I'm wrong. Also, Jones spent most of the budget on Every Sperm is Sacred. That's why it's the greatest musical number. The rest of the Pythons found out after the fact.
I think you might have given it 4.5.
Okay, Brian.
You know, it's hard to, you know, I'm on the website, so it's hard to
It's hard to
actually look at
figure
the
out.
numbers.
I'll take a look later and maybe put it out on social media. Also, the Find the Film sketch was filmed in the main control hall at Battersea Power Station in London. And was supposed to represent weird dreams everyone experiences from time to time. Gilliam later said he regretted that it wasn't explained clearly.
No.
Yeah, you
Why
don't want
would
to
you want to
explain that
explain
part.
that? That's what makes it great.
Yeah.
That was like one of the best,
Right.
parts of the movie, hands down.
Oh yeah, it's a close second to Crimson Farming Assurance for me, but yeah, it's definitely a highlight. Sequels and remakes?
Did you
Before it
like
got to
Crimson
Creosote,
Assurance?
say again. Yeah, before it got to Creosote and it tanked for me, I was thinking Wright and Pegg could do it justice. You know, if anybody is going to try to do this again. But I'd rather see Life of Brian or Meaning or Growl remade, if anything, if any Python is.
I think he, I mean, you leave that one alone, you know?
You leave Python alone, of course.
Yeah.
On the brains.
On the brains, I'm trying to find what we gave the ones in the past.
I know Growl was a double five.
Yeah.
Brian might have been differently. If you get to what should be the image on the on our website for that episode, that entry, right click, try to save that image, it'll tell you the brains. It'll have a number next to it.
Yeah, I think you gave Grail 4.5, honestly.
Oh, okay, maybe I did.
Because I see a 0.5.
Okay, so maybe it was 4.5. I forgot. Maybe there was one little issue. This one, like I said, I loved it up until Creosote, and that just tanked it. Based on most of what happened after that, I can't recommend it. It's a 3.5.
And I'm definitely going to recommend it because it's the satire. It's just, oh no, it is five brains. I think you did
Okay.
both.
I'm pretty sure Growl was a double five.
Yeah. And I wonder what Life of Brian was.
We'll check later. What do you rate in this one?
Give it this one a 4.
And what have we learned?
That's a good thing that viruses are too small to take our legs.
And I learned what assurance firms actually do. I Googled assurance because of this movie. Apparently they're like really top level accountants who, look over and review financial documents to make sure everything's good. They're accountants.
I don't think we've ever reviewed Life of Brian.
We haven't reviewed Life of Brian.
I
I
don't
was
think
sure
we
we
have.
had. Damn, we need to.
I did a Google search, or I did a search in the movie list of for Life. And it only has Resident Evil Afterlife and The Meaning of
Okay.
Life.
Huh. I was sure we reviewed Life of Brian. I'll take a look. All right, that's it for The Meaning of Life. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Edmund. This is our Stuart Gordon tribute. Based on a David Mamet play, but from what I've read of the plot summary, very much in our wheelhouse. Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There you
are.
are.